This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast that is, well, The Next Step. The Next Step in Armenian Orthodoxy, Armadoxy. We're inviting you to get involved and take that next step with us right now. This is episode number 299, the special Vartanants pre-Lenten edition of The Next Step. This is a podcast that is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Well, welcome to our Vartanants edition. Yeah, special Vartan Mamigonian. We're going to be talking about him today, actually in a fun new way. In fact, in a way that is, well, very relevant, I hope. I know it's going to be. In fact, we're going to tie Vartan in with Arizona. Have you heard what's going on over there? Yeah, well, they're saying that, you know, it's okay to discriminate based on religious convictions. It's okay to discriminate based on your religious convictions. Can you believe that? Well, this morning we woke up to the news that the Arizona governor rightly vetoed that legislation, but we're going to be talking about that coming up in a few minutes. And actually, I want to tie it in with Vartanants. It's such an appropriate tie-in. You won't believe it. In fact, it makes our church so relevant at this point. But before I do that, hey, let me share with you some of the stuff that's been going on. First of all, yes, I am on the road to recovery. Thank you for the wonderful emails, for the calls. I do appreciate it. And I am recording from Epostle East today in the Pasadena campus of the large Epostle vast empire of studios. Here I am with my microphone, my mini microphone. Today I am, those of you who are a little more astute to the finer qualities of sound may notice that there is a difference in my voice. Yes, I'm using a small little headphone microphone this time, so a head-mounted microphone. How's that? Okay. Anyway, it gets the job done. That's the bottom line. I want to share with you some of the exciting thing that's been happening during the week on this road to recovery. My dear friends have been popping by, and last Monday we had just such a great... it's hard because every day I have to do some walking, you know, so I get some walking partners, and I had... Gregory Baylarian, famed artist, and Gor Mkhitaryan. Actually, guess what? Guess what I got to do last Monday? Yes, my first time out of the house, I got to escape to Guitar Center with the Gor Mkhitaryan. Wow! Okay, so there we are. I'm not in really too presentable of a form, so I've got my little hoodie on because I'm trying to cover up some of my stitches and trying to take it easy, relatively easy. But, you know, after a while, you kind of go stir crazy. You got to get out. So when Gore came, he wanted to go get some stuff from Guitar Center. I said, let's do it. Let's do it. I want to go with you. Can you imagine going with the famed Gor Mkhitaryan to Guitar Center? So there we were. We go inside, and, you know, he's fiddling around on the guitars, and I pick up a guitar and I started playing a few chords, and you go, okay, yeah, that's pretty good, very nice, you know, and everything. Then you hear him, you know, and he picks up something and he's just like doing some picking and he plugged into an amp. It was just wonderful. What a nice experience that was. But we got back and we had just such an incredible conversation. And I wanted to really throw this out at you because I think it's so necessary. First of all, you know that we've been doing this 100-year journey that's going to be coming up next April, not this April, the following April, 2015, when it will be the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. And rather than commemorate by you doing the usual foolish things that that reflect insanity, you know, doing the same things and expecting different results, as Einstein would say, of throwing rocks at the Turkish consulate and saying, hey, look at us over here. We're Armenians over here, going and begging Obama for recognition. We're trying to do some really, really novel things. And there's a big price tag on that too. There's a price tag in putting this whole product together. It's going to be an experience. It's going to be actually like a vortex experience where you go in there and you just, it's changing. It's life changing. And you know, I've been sharing this with you, my Next Step listeners, for the last several years. We either got to believe it or not. I mean, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You either got to believe this or you don't. And if you don't, then that's fine too. You know, you're welcome to believe in whatever ideology you want. Just don't presume that it's a Christian Christian ideology, right? You know, say, okay, yeah, that's fine. You can hate your enemies, that's fine. But then don't call yourself Christian in doing so. And I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult on the human level. You know, you've got somebody who's hurt you. You don't feel like really, you don't feel like being in love with this person. But where does it come on a national level, on a global level? And certainly we're seeing enough examples of it throughout the world. I mean, just this morning we woke up in the Ukraine and you've got these situations where the Russians are hoisting up their flags and you've got the Americans testing ammunition over there with South Korea and the North Koreans responding with these giant weapons. And it's, okay, my gun's bigger than your gun, my dad's bigger than your dad, my brother can beat up your brother. It all starts off at the very basic level of, I hate you. Or changing that hate, changing that poison into the medicine, and turning that poison into a means of finding reconciliation. And that's really the challenge for us, I think, in 2015, as the centennial of the Armenian Genocide approaches, for us to really be thinking about new means by which we talk about these old subjects, and not so in the sense that we should forget about these things, but really channel that, take that poison and turn it into the medicine. It's very interesting because I found myself this week in a situation where obviously medicine and healing has been on my mind. And by the way, we're going to be starting a very interesting series next week on our Lenten podcast series. We're going to be starting a series on healing, the journey to healing, and it's a 40-day season. But let me throw this out at you, and then the bigger questions too. I was sitting in my room, and I have in our living room, we have this picture that was created by Gregory Bellary, and it's the resurrection of Christ, and it is so beautifully done in watercolors and everything, and it adores our living room, one of the walls in our living room. And I happen to be sitting in that living room, and on the other side he had done a personal picture for me of the medicine Buddha. And it was interesting because I was noticing in the artwork how the medicine Buddha always has his hand connected to the earth. It's from the earth that you draw that healing, that it's from the earth that you find that strength, and his hand has to be connected to the earth, the medicine Buddha. And I was sitting between these two icons, and you look from one side, it's connecting that earth to the Jesus who has his hands lifted up to the heavens at the resurrection. And so in that healing process, you are moving from the earth, you are moving from your own personal space into a higher space, and in touching that higher space, touching that healing, that those heavens, you realize you have this obligation to also share that healing with others. So I want to do that next week. I want to share some of these thoughts with you in the healing journey, a 40-day program that will be starting here on Epostle. And we're still... Last night, I was talking with Susie. We were trying to iron out some of the fine points of how it's going to be presented. But those are all just mechanical things. I want you to pray for really the content, that what we produce will be filled with content and value to all of you. But here's what I wanted to throw out at you. That day we were sitting there, and I was sitting with a musician, with an artist, and we're talking about the 100th anniversary, about new concepts and everything. And, you know, it occurred to me that we in the Armenian Church, and perhaps throughout Orthodoxy too, we've never had those moments of reform. Obviously, in the West, you've had that reform by virtue of the Protestant Reformation, right? Of Martin Luther standing up and saying, okay, here's the treatises. This is what's wrong with the church, and taking care of it. Now, there is a new means of reform that we see here in America. It's a very, very popular means of reform that we've seen in the past, I'd say, 20, 30 years, and that's lampooning and parody. And I think of Saturday Night Live. And really what brought this to my attention was the diocese had done a debutante ball. And this is nothing new. It's for the last 40 years they've been doing these debutante balls, which are nice ways of bringing out young girls into society. And obviously, by the words that I'm using in itself, tells you that it's a dated practice, but they do it anyway. But there is an inequity involved in that you need money to be in this program. And obviously, it's done for money. That's the sake and the reason for which it's done, the underlying reason. There's a lot of money being exchanged, and it's a fundraiser for the diocese. So that all to its side. Now, this is what I was thinking. I saw a press release out there. And it was a press release about the debutante ball. It had been very successful, and a group of young girls were presented to society. And these young men had been escorting them and brought them out, and each of them were introduced. Each of these women were introduced in this press release by virtue of their parents and by virtue of special grandparents. It was very interesting because there were people who were not who were absent one or the other grandparent. In other words, there was some weight placed on the names. And certainly this is what society is about. This is what the old society days were all about. This is what debutante balls were about. I mean, in the old times, it was a way of greeting them, entering into society. The Jews still continue doing this. This is what bat mitzvahs are. That's what they are. Okay, it's a way of bringing them into society. Like, look, here's our good boy, and he's a good Jewish boy, and let's reward him and everything. And Armenians, and as well as any other community, have these traditions. My question is, should the church be facilitating this, especially when Jesus was such a big proponent of equity? In other words, an equity in throughout the classes, that there shouldn't be a higher class. There shouldn't be this society page, so to speak. And as I was looking at that press release, I thought, this is what we're missing. We have not had a parody. We have not had a Saturday Night Live, so to speak, for the Armenian Church. For instance, the same press release, somebody to parody it, to talk about maybe the first young lesbian girl who was being presented to society. Is it possible? Transgender girl who was being presented to society. Would she be presented to society? And in that parody, to perhaps create that dialogue necessary, to create the dialogue necessary for us to start talking about some of these issues that are plaguing the church. Namely, you are a church that should be tending to the poor, tending to the needy. And you're talking about really an event that's not only archaic, but an event that really applauds the rich, that applauds the people in certain financial positions. And anyway, where is the Saturday Night Live of the Armenian Church? Do we have a need for parodying? And so we were talking with this small little group the other day, and it occurred to me that we haven't had that group of artists as well. You look at what happened in the 60s and the 70s, what gave rise to that parody for us to even be in a national discussion or a debate about things of this nature. For us to even have a National Lampoon, for us to even have a Saturday Night Live, it took an open architecture, so to speak. An open architecture of ideas. And that's what really the 60s were about, when you had people like Bob Dylan coming in and singing and becoming a voice for a generation. That gave rise to a Joan Baez, that gave rise to a Neil Young, a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, who got up and said, you know, there's four dead in Ohio, what are you guys doing about it? And then for people to be talking and openly exchanging, in other words, challenging the authority. Challenging the authority. Now, we do this in the next step, right? But it's such a small little step that we're taking. And it's time for us to really push ourselves to a higher limit. And I think that opportunities like this come about, and I'm going to share with you a fantastic opportunity that I hope you'll latch on to, and you'll understand where I'm going with this, right after the song of the day. Today happens to be Vartanants. It is a war that it's celebrated by Armenians. It's a war that we lost, but it is a war of heroes. Now I'm going to play for you a small little song that I love. It is one of those nationalistic songs, just to get us in the mood for today's talk. Here's Hovhannes Badalia.
Islamakan korvashtere katahi Pasharetin mer lernere soskali Pasharetin mer lernere soskali Mi vahati katsasun Kesamar chen oruchun Mer paperi tsovorelen Mer bintagam artipes Zor mestovin Mer paperi tsovorelen Mer nitagam artipes Zor mestovin hishadav Chenik semal pasharvatsen kurderov Talvoriki amskne pakvas turkerov Alvoriki anskne pakvas turkero Askesesem kach murad Zura char jiran vahad Mer heravor yev parner Chenken armishtan darber Shuto kukano kudyan Mer heravor yev parner Çenken armiştan darbe Şuto kukan o kukan Tından o tindem dereleng kaç sırtop Sovin dimadreleng Kato banjaro Sovindi madrelen Kato banjaro Iseraso dashvare Patak bil islamin Lave mernilar ansats Kan hanzem bil bat turkin Angut yevan aspatin Love and Merlilar Ansatz Kalkan zembil var Türkin Angu kevan asfatin Hayak çikner arek varotu kapar Le zrek da dar kwam pushnera chara char la zrek da dar kwam pushnera chara char istu kanai kan vahat arek sur yev haratsan zer kanatsi aryuno Հախուսեցեք հայքաջեր, ազատենք մեր հայրենին, ձեր կանացի արյունով, Հախուսեցեք հայքաջեր, ազատենք մեր հայրենին.
The classics. Ah! Never get tired of that. That is Hovhannes Badalyan, of course, singing the song Sasun. And it is has nothing to do with Vartanants. It has something to do with protecting the Armenian homeland. It's one of those nationalistic songs talking about the Haydanik, which is the fatherland. But it does connect in a way because it's about protection and it's about, waging that war. And I wanted to share with you some ideas about waging war and the continuation of war in our lives in a different way, perhaps in a way that you have not thought about, perhaps you have. But today happens to be Vartanants. It is a celebration in the Armenian church. It is an Armenian church celebration because not only is Vartan a warrior, but he is also a saint. He was one who was martyred and crowned by the church as a saint, as was his buddy, who was Saint Leon Revont. And so over the course of this week, we have two of these very special feasts. Last Tuesday, 2 days ago, was Revontians, and today is Vartanants. That ants at the end of the saint's name is the companions, or the group. It means the group of these guys. So Revont was the symbol of the priest, and it is the day of the priest that day, 2 days ago, and today is the day of Saint Vartan, the people, the warrior. And together, it's the icon of the cross and the sword, right? The cross and the sword coming together to wage that battle. And I think it's beautiful that here in America we have this, I don't think it's by chance, you know, I really don't think it's by chance, but these names came about because of donors who had given, that's how Armenian churches are named, by the way, you know, some of you find a donor and then you ask the guy, well, how much, you know, what do you want to name it? And but it just turned out that the main donor for our cathedral here in on the West Coast is they named it after Revont, the saint, the Leon Revont. And what's beautiful about America is that the cathedral on the East Coast is called Saint Vartan. So basically the America, Northern America, is protected by these two major cathedrals, Saint Vartan and Saint Revont. And I think it's beautiful. I don't think it's by chance that these kind of things happen, but you may disagree. It's your prerogative, okay? But I am more of the mystic and more of the miracle searcher and finder, okay? Let's say it that way. All right, so Vartanants, why is this so special today? And how does this all tie in? I said earlier, in Arizona, they tried to pass legislation where it would be legal as a religious organization for you to discriminate against gays, discriminate against people who you did not feel like your religion approved of their lifestyle. Now, let me start off this way. Do you remember where I left you last week? We were talking about the idea of the creation myths. And I shared with you the idea of the creation myths that came out of the Old Testament. And interestingly enough, whenever anybody talks about the comparison, or let's put it side by side and literally taking the creation in a literal sense, that yes, it took exactly 6 days to create the universe, and yes, the whole universe is only 6,000 years old, and then juxtaposing it next to the statements given by science that show that, hey, look at this, there's a billions of stars out there, and it didn't take 6,000 years to create Earth, but Earth has millions of years of life. And then you say, well, one is disproving the other. Well, the Bible that has been given to us, that Old Testament, has never been meant to be taken literally, but somehow people have taken these stories very literally. And What's interesting it is that the Old Testament, this is where I left you off last week, the Old Testament is really comes to us from Judaism. Not only the tradition, the Judaic tradition, but also comes to us from a culture of people. And it's interesting, when we talk about creationism, we've never been out there criticizing the Jewish faith, the Jewish tradition. Instead, it comes as a criticism of Christianity. Why? Why? Think about that for a moment, right? The stories of creation come out of the Old Testament, but it's always been, when we talk about creationists and then we start criticizing them, it's a criticism of Christianity. It's always these far-right Christian groups that are the ones picking up on these literal translations. Okay, that being said, think about what went on in Arizona this week. In Arizona, they tried to pass legislation this week, which was ultimately vetoed this morning by the governor of the state. They tried to pass legislation that would be okay for people of religious convictions to discriminate against people that they didn't feel were that they felt that they should be discriminating against, namely the homosexual community. And it's interesting because when they talked about this, it's again the criticism comes on the Christians. When all of those references to homosexual intolerance comes out of the Old Testament, why isn't there a criticism of Judaism? There isn't, right? It always comes and reflects back on Christ. And Christ was really the farthest way. He was the one who said, no, we do not operate this way. It's not about intolerance. It's about tolerance. It's about sharing. It's about understanding that you have a log in your eye and you cannot see the speck in your brother's eye. Okay, you want to talk about homosexuality? That's fine. But first and foremost, clean up your act. And you have an act that is far from clean. Okay? So let's not go there. And this is why it's so refreshing when you hear people like Pope Francis during the past year who comes out and he says things like, who am I to condemn? It's the same thing with St. Peter and Jesus walking on the beach after the resurrection and St. Peter looking back and saying, Lord, what about that man over there? And Jesus says, what's it to you? Follow me. And this is the Christ that we know. This is the Christian that we know. This is the Christian experience that we know. Follow me. Don't worry about everybody else's lives. Take out the log out of your own eye before you see the speck in your brother's eye. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. Okay, you either believe that or you don't, but that's Christianity. Christianity is about loving your enemy. Christianity is about caring for the poor. Now, you can add all kinds of stuff to the mix in different ways, but if you get away from that core understanding of Christ as the ultimate example of tolerance, why? Because Christ is love. Christ is God, is love. And love is tolerant. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. It is not arrogant. It does not seek its own. Ah, okay. Now I get it. Okay, so this is what Christianity is. So when you talk about intolerance, you're not talking about Christianity. You're not talking about Christians. You're talking about a group of people that are basing themselves on literal translations of obscure passages from here and there. Okay, so what happens in Arizona? How does this connect with Vartanants? Well, what is Vartanants? Vartanants is this war that was fought back in 451. Okay, that probably has no relevance to anybody, but it does. It's a war that was lost by the Armenians, but it is celebrated by the Armenians. And there's no other culture that does this. Interesting, right? There's no other culture that celebrates a loss. Here in America, we celebrate 4th of July. Independence Day, independence from the British Crown. Guess what? Not only do they not celebrate it in the United Kingdom, but they shouldn't. They lost. Right? There's no reason for them to be celebrating the 4th of July. You don't celebrate your losses. Armenians are celebrating Vartanants, a completely physical loss. We went out there and you had your three main players. Okay, you had Saint Vartan, who was the warrior. You had Revont Yeretz, who was the priest. You had the Catholicos Hovsep. These are the three main players in this event that brings people a victory, even though they lost. Okay, listen to the words. Even though they lost the battle, there was a victory. And the victory is measured in this way. Is measured what happened afterwards. When they were faced with this intolerant regime, who wanted the Armenians to betray their Christianity. And this, mind you, is only 150 years after Christianity was accepted. Now, challenge yourself to think about that for a moment, okay? It's not 2,000 years of history. It's been 150 years. What is that, like six, seven generations? Okay? And yet Christianity is so in the people that they're willing to fight for it. They're willing to die for it. And the order comes up that, you know, they've got to change. They've got to change their religion and everything would be fine. Give up Christianity. And everything will be fine. You will be okay. You don't have to worry, okay? You're not going to be killed. Just give up your Christianity. And Vartan, what's beautiful about the Vartan message was that Vartan sends this letter to the Persians. And he says, our religion is not like a garment that you might change according to the circumstances. It is part and parcel of our bones and blood and personality. It's not this shirt that I could put on today because it's convenient. And today because it's not convenient, I could just take it off and say, okay, today I'm not a Christian. No, it's part and parcel of our bones, blood, and personality. In the letter he says, we serve you loyally in your army and pay you taxes faithfully if you leave us alone in the matters of religion. Wow. The example of the saints is not bound by time. The message is clear today. Our religion is not a garment that we change according to the circumstances. The message of the saints is not bound by time. And so if that's true, right? Vartanants needs to mean something to us today. Vartanants was fought in 451, but the real war is today, 2014. It's wild, isn't it? This is what's beautiful about Vartanants. It's a war that begins 451. But it ends with you and me. You and me make the decision. How are you reacting to your faith today? Where are you on that Christian balance? Are you willing to wear that shirt? Or are you going to take it off? Okay, you say, fine, you know, okay, I got like, you know, next time that a king comes up to me and says that, you know, give up Christianity, I will stand up and I will say, okay, no, I'm not going to take off this shirt. Okay, I don't care, king or no king, I'm not going to do it. Well, fat chance that that's going to happen, okay? Come on, especially if you're listening to this show, given the demographics, fat chance that somebody's going to come up to you and put a sword up to your neck and say, okay, give up Christianity. But I'm telling you where it is happening, and it happened this week in Arizona. Give up Christianity. Give up Christianity and say, we're intolerant against a group of people. Now, you think about what happened back 100 years ago during the genocide. How do you think genocide starts? It starts with these basic ideas of intolerance. By labeling people, rather than considering them as human beings, we label those people with certain names. When you talk about the Armenian genocide and you look at the early writings back in 1915 of the Turkish officers, they referred to the Armenians as people who needed to be exterminated. What do you exterminate? You don't exterminate people, you exterminate pests. You exterminate rodents. Language is very, very, very powerful. If you're familiar with the Rwandan genocide, which was more in a lifetime. I mean, there's stories of it. Oh, a couple of years ago, there was a movie called Hotel Rwanda, okay? You remember the two tribes, Hutu and Tutsi. Same people. Two different tribes. But what did they do? They used language. It was so powerful. They referred to the Tutsis as what? Cockroaches. So what do you do with cockroaches? You exterminate them. See, once you get the people off of the idea that they're human, then it's okay to do those things. Of course you exterminate cockroaches. I mean, it's only logical. But they're not cockroaches, they're human beings. But once you get into that idea of lowering them, and this is what's happening right now, and we're using religious freedom to do that. We're using religious wording that doesn't come from Christianity, by the way. It does not come from Christianity. In Christianity, it says, Jesus says it straight out. You want to call somebody a cockroach? First, look at yourself. And realize that you're the ultimate roach. He would have said that. Yes, he would have. He said it in many senses when he said, first remove the log out of your own eye before you see the speck in your brother's eye. In fact, by removing the log out of your own eye, you can see better the speck in your brother's eye. And this is the Christian challenge that is given to us. And so what do? We start setting up our walls. We start setting up our parameters. So when we go out there and we call this guy a homosexual, in a different way, we refer to them as gays. We refer to them as fags. Derogatory names, okay? Now all of a sudden we're dehumanizing them, right? Hey, you know what that guy is? He's a human being. He had a mother and father just like you and me. And this is the Christian understanding that we've got to be grounded in. When we talk about there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ, what does that mean? There's only one people. We're all baptized in the River Jordan. Well, guess what? The River Jordan is connected to the rest of the seas of the earth. Matter has never been created nor destroyed, and every drop of water that was in the River Jordan 2,000 years ago when Christ came out of the water is still in this world today, and every drink of water that you take is that same water reprocessed, redone. This is the beauty of life. And so here we are on Vartanans. 451 it started the fight, and here we are in 2014, and they're talking about intolerance towards a group of people, and they're justifying it by religion. Guess what we need to say as Armenian Christians, as children of Vartan, as people who are true to the Armenian Orthodox faith, that is Armadoxy? We need to stand up and say no. You cannot discriminate against gays because of religious convictions. You cannot discriminate against them for any reason because they are children of God. Their preferences, their lifestyles are not my concern. What is my concern is my life, the way I'm living. And that's a difficult one. I want to share with you. I know it's not easy. In fact, when I shared this, I believe it was last year, there was some other issue concerning homosexuality. I know that we had a lot of irate listeners, people who, it was interesting. We lost a lot of subscribers at that time. So what am I supposed to do? Say, okay, well, because of the circumstances, I will remove the shirt off of my back. I'll pretend that it's okay. No, you can't do that. You just can't do that. Christ didn't do it. Christ did not do it. If you look throughout Scripture, the people that he approaches are the people that are the people that no one else approached. No one else was approached. The leper, no one else approached him. You know what leprosy is? The skin is falling off of your body, your bones. That's leprosy. And they would put these lepers in colonies away from the population. You didn't want to get near these people. Disgusting, man. Guy's skin is falling off. What does Jesus do? Not only approaches them, he hugs them. And he treats them as a child of God. Now guess what? We're treating people as lepers. And we're making up these phony leprosies. Based on our convictions, based on our understanding of things that look different to us. Much like the Turks did back in 1915. The Armenians did not follow their pattern. So, okay, let's label them as such. Let's exterminate them. Let's get rid of them because of this or that. Now, you and I as Armenian Christians, as Armenian Orthodox, as Armodoxy followers have this opportunity today. For us to be standing up and making our voice heard. For us to stand up today and say that, okay, it happened back in 451 in Vartanants. Today it's happening in Arizona. Yeah, the players are a little bit different. I may not even agree with the way that they live, but you know what? They are children of God. And you cannot discriminate. You cannot be intolerant of people for whom God is tolerant. That's a big one too, right? God cares for them. So who do you think you are that you have a right not to care for them? Whoa! Who am I not to care for them? God loves all. God makes it shine, the sunshine on all. Who am I to restrict that sunshine from anyone? That's Armodoxy at its best. On this St. Vartanants Day, 2014. Here's Susie to tell you about what we're doing over here.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armodoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
You know, we've been doing Next Step now for 6 years. And there have been many times where I feel like, you know, it's been a difficult run. Your prayers, I feel them. And I felt them especially today. I want to tell you how beautiful I feel. What a beautiful opportunity I feel, especially today, that I had to give this message. This message is so in tune with what I've been talking about for the last 6 years. And is really coming. It's flowering. So I want to thank all of you for all of your participation, whether it's through your donations, your prayers, or both. I know prayers are at the foundation of all the donations that do come in. But I do feel them. And I want to thank all of you who have joined me along on this journey. We've got so much more to do and so much ahead of us. Let's always be focused. You know, Epostle for me is this outlet that we wouldn't see otherwise. You know, a few moments ago I was sharing with you that we were talking about, like, where is the Where is this new generation that would bring out this revolution? Well, in many senses, this is the new generation. In his shoes. This is part of the expanding vision of in his shoes. What is in his shoes? If not, but that new response, that armadoxy response, that, okay, as genocide survivors, as Christians, we have a gation response. Okay, if you're for healing and the Buddha's got his hand in the earth, bringing it out of the earth, on the other side, you've got to see that Christ who is ascending towards heaven. And so there you have it, really, you know. This is what we're about. It's about making Christianity relevant. It's about seeking Christianity in the most ancient of all traditions, the Armenian Orthodox tradition, and understanding that that is not about history lessons, but it is about applying it in our lives today. In front of an Arizona courtroom, in front of your house, in your heart, these are all places where God has to be real and make sense. So get involved with us, okay? Whatever way it is, you make your donations, you say thank you for this ministry, and you become part of this ministry. Listen, let me, before we end today, I want to share with you that this Sunday marks the last day before Lent. It's called Punbaragenton. And then Lent begins next Monday. I have a whole slew of things for you to get involved with. Please get on the Epostle website, and you will find all kinds of stuff. You'll find the Lenten Journey. It's a 49-day program. It begins next Monday, and it goes all the way through till Easter Sunday. It's a daily ritual. You can go. You can sign up in the morning. Just listen to the podcast. It's about a 10-minute little lesson. It gives you some inspiration for you to get through the Lenten season. But it is methodical, so it takes you from one point to the end of Lent to Easter Sunday. That's called the Lenten Journey. By the way, during Lent, we have dietary restrictions, okay? All meat products, all animal products, anything with a face, okay? So you say, well, what are we supposed to eat? Guess what? We take care of that too, okay? We've got this incredible list of recipes that you can follow during the Lenten season. Things that will stimulate your palate, of course. But they're all delicious and great and nutritious, okay? So that's also on Epostle. We take care of your spiritual and we take care of your physical. Finally, we're going to be starting a new program, and I'm hoping, I need your prayers on this one big time. We're hoping to start this off next Monday. We're going to be having the Journey of Healing. And as I've shared with you this past couple weeks, I've been in a process of healing myself. And I thought it would be really nice to take you on that journey, a spiritual one, a physical one. I'm still trying to iron out how the content is going to be produced, because I'm trying something a little bit different, something off the record. But bear with me. I hope we'll be able to launch that this coming Monday, and it'll all be up on the Epostle website. In other words, there'll be links to it from epostle.net. And easy to remember, that's Apostle with an E. It's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Thank you for joining in and tuning in with us, and doing all the usual things of getting this podcast to your ears, whether you download it, you listen to it on Stitcher Radio, or on iTunes, wherever you listen to it. Thank you for joining us today. I want to ask you to get involved not only on the Lenten season, but throughout the week, throughout the year at Epostle.net. Also on our social media pages at Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. For the wonderful team who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Brian, our webman, for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take
We trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have the next step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.